Hey there, this is Emily Hoover, and we are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
Oh, good morning. Man, the energy in this room is palpable, and for good reason. My word. If you are a guest or you're newer to Mission Point, we are so glad that you chose this Sunday to be here. We trust it will give you a sense of what matters so deeply to us. And man, we are thrilled to celebrate on this baptism Sunday. And for us, it is just a reminder that Jesus Christ is still firmly in the business of transforming lives from death to life, from guilty to fully forgiven, from destined for hell to destined for heaven with God forever and ever and ever. And I just feel like I should warn you again, as Michael did, that things could get a little crazy in here in a hot minute. We get excited about baptisms, and here in a moment, that is going to happen here in this room on this very stage. And we are going to baptize quite a number of people. And baptism is very simple in its meaning. Now, baptism is just a word that means to submerge or to immerse. Baptism is just submerging or immersing. And here in a few moments, we're going to take a few individuals and we're going to immerse them into the water that is behind me. And when they emerge from that water, which they will have been baptized. That's it. By virtue of the fact that they were submerged and they re-emerged, they will have been baptized. And this place is going to lose its collective mind. And it's not just because we're weirdly into water. It's because of what that symbolizes, what it means. There is nothing special about the water that is behind me. What's special is what it represents. Frankly, there's nothing uniquely special about any individual who's going to get baptized up here this morning. No more special than any of the rest of us. Matter of fact, every single person who's getting baptized, just like the rest of us, has the same story. A story which starts in a very dark place. A place called sin. Sin. As the story goes, God created the world in which we live, and then he created humanity to live in his world. And one of the perks of creating something is that you get to decide how that something should work. And that's exactly what happened with God. He decided, listen, I'm going to establish some rules that will govern the way things work in my world. I'm going to establish some rules that every single person who lives in my world has to live by. Like my dad used to say to us when we were growing up, my house, my rules. If you don't like them, tough. When you have a home of your own, you can establish your own rules. And he was right, by the way. I say this to my kids on a semi-regular basis. It's my house. My rules. Can't keep your kids from becoming their parents. And that's what I've become. Like, I sound like my dad when I say it. My house, my rules. One day when you have your own house, you can establish your own rules. And that's what God said to every single person who lived in his world, my rules. You don't have to like them, but as long as you live in this, if you don't like them, you can create your own world. But until such a time, my rules apply. Rules such as, let me give you just a couple from the top 10. One of the rules is do not steal. It's my world, my rules. Do not steal. Do not take something that doesn't belong to you without asking permission. Do not dishonor your parents. Honor your parents. Do not mouth off. Do not disobey. Do not disrespect your parents. My world, my rules. Another one is do not commit adultery. Do not sleep with somebody you are not married to. My world, my rules. And those are just three of many rules that God gave to the people that he created who are now occupying and living in his world. I could go on, but you get the gist. But the problem, according to the Bible, is that just like every single person who's going to get baptized up here this morning, we blew it. We all messed up. Every single one of us violated the rules that God established to be followed in his world. Every single person in listening to the sound of my voice has broken God's rules, whether accidentally or on purpose, at least once. And the Bible tells us as much in Romans chapter 3. Look at this. It says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of God's standard of perfection." Every single one of us has messed up and broken God's rules. And you know this is true. I don't have to convince you of it. You may not like it, but you know that this is true. Matter of fact, every now and then here at Mission Point, we will play a game. It's an imaginary game, so please don't do this actually. But we'll say, imagine I asked all of you to raise your hand and keep your hand up if you can say, "I've never broken a rule." Well, let's go through three. You can say, "I've never stolen, not once in my life. I've never taken something that doesn't belong to me without asking for permission. Never done it. Never taken my sibling's toy. I have never scrolled social media while I'm on the clock at work and got paid for it, because that ain't your time. I have never watched a show online that I did not legally pay for." None of this like, "Well, my friends in college, we all go in on the same password." Netflix does not approve that. That is thievery. If I said, "Keep your hand up if you've never stolen anything," I'd be so curious to know how many hands would stay waving in the air. But just by some chance, there were a couple of outliers who say, "Never done it." Said, "Well, then keep your hand up if you have never dishonored your parents. You have never disobeyed your parents. You have never sassed. You've never mouthed off to your parents. You have never said anything disrespectful about your parents behind their back. Then keep your hand up." I'm curious to know how many hands would be waving. I'm just saying. And then if I said to you, "Well, then keep your hand up for sure if you've never committed adultery. You have never slept with somebody who you're not married to." Oh, and when the Bible clarifies that, it says, "And you've never even fantasized about it in your mind. Keep your hand up." How many hands would be waving in the air? I'm going to guess approximately zero. And if your hand is still up after all of that, the rest of us would know that you are a liar, which is a violation of one of God's rules, and your hand would need to come down. The Bible is not wrong when it says every single one of us has messed up. Every single one of us has broken one of God's rules. And that's just 3.5 of hundreds of these things that God has said must be kept in his world. If you're honest, you know we've broken the rules of the holy God of the universe. Every single one of us has sinned, no exceptions. Now, that may sound like something to which we might say, "Oh, well, sometimes people mess up. Sometimes people make mistakes." But our sin is dark news. Because God, who made the world and made the rules, attached dire consequences to his rules. And he said every single sin against him is a capital offense. That is dark news. Every single sin ever committed carries with it a death sentence. And because all of our hands went up, all of us are admitting to the fact, I have sinned and I deserve to die. That is dark news. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 puts it this way: for the wages of sin is death. Death. And when the Bible uses the word death, by the way, it's not just speaking about physical death. It is speaking about a spiritual death that happens after we physically die. It is speaking about separation from God and suffering in a place called hell forever and ever and ever. That is the consequence of every single sin anyone will ever commit. And because we're guilty of sin, the wages, the penalty that we've earned is that separation and suffering forever, no exceptions. And so what we call life on earth, if we are honest, is just death row with a counting down clock to the day when we physically die and start our eternal death sentence. This is dark news. And the news that is true for every single person you see up here today is true for every single one of us listening this morning. That's hopelessly dark. And the reason it's hopelessly dark is because there is not a single thing any of us can do to fix it. There is not a single thing any of us can do to undo it. There is not a single thing any of us can do to mend that, no matter what. How do you change the fact that you broke one of God's eternal laws? How do you fix that? Oh, I know, I'll be good. How good would you have to be? Well, the answer to that question is you're going to have to live perfectly, never messing up again. But for argument's sake, let's say you pulled that up and you never messed up again. What about the wages for the mistake you made prior? What about the consequences for the sin you committed before that? No amount of good works can undo the sentence that sits on your head. There is no good enough. Oh, I'm going to start going to church to try and get better. You can go to church, but church cannot fix it for you. Oh, I know. I'm going to lean on the deeply philosophical argument that, well, God seems like too nice of a God to do something like this. You are going to bank your eternity on that argument? Maybe God won't follow through. Maybe what we sang isn't true. Maybe he doesn't keep his promises. Or maybe he only keeps the good promises, not. Now, this is hopelessly dark news because there is nothing you can do to clean yourself up. There is nothing you can do to fix this. There is nothing I can do to reverse or undo the fact that my life right now is death row, counting down to the day when my sentence finally begins. That's bad news. But if you want to know why we exist as a church, if you want to know why we are celebrating today, it is because sin and separation and suffering don't get to have the final say in your story. God sent a Savior. And come on, if you know his name, feel free to shout it out. It's okay. Jesus is his name. Amen. Jesus. God sent a Savior to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, listen, no matter how badly you've messed up, no matter what you carried into this place, woo! Jesus is in the business of fully forgiving sinners and canceling death penalties. for free. For free. Amen. I was waiting for at least one. You can walk out of this room with a new story and a new sentence because of the Savior whose name is Jesus, transformed by his love forever, promised his life forever and ever. Because check out the rest of the verse we just read. For the wages of sin is death. That's our role in the equation. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Because I don't know if you knew this, but when you can't fix yourself, when you can't change the failures of your past, when you can't alter the fate of your future, you might need a gift. When you can't earn something, you might need someone to gift you what you couldn't possibly earn. And the same God who we sinned against said, I love them too much not to give them a way out of death. I will gift them eternal life. Woo! Now, it may be tempting to think like, that's pretty cool. See, that's what I was saying earlier in my little argument, that God is just kind of the kind of God who would say like, oh yeah, let bygones be bygones. Just turn a blind eye and just forget about it. But that's not what he does. He doesn't sweep our sin under the rug. He doesn't sweep the sentence under the rug. He doesn't just throw away our suffering. Oh no, rules are rules. Sin is sin, and the wages of sin still death. The wages of your sin and my sin are still death. And what God says is someone's got to die. We're not just turning a blind eye. Someone has got to die for that sin. And in the greatest gesture of love in eternity, Jesus raises his hand and he says, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll go to earth so that they can come to heaven. And on that first Christmas, Jesus came into our broken, messed up world as a human being. And he committed himself to living under God's rules. And while he was here, he lived the perfect life. Not once did Jesus mess up. Not once did Jesus sin. If we were playing the game, Jesus' hand would still be up. Never once did he sin against God. Not so much as a thought. His hand went up. And it stayed there. That's Jesus, perfect life. And then he says, I'll trade places with them. What do you mean, Jesus? I'll tell you what, God, how about if I give them my perfect life and I take their sinfulness instead? I'll trade them. What if I give them my innocence and I take their sentence? What if I die their death so that they could have my eternal life as a gift? Oh, the gift God offers is not because he threw away our sin and threw away our sentence and threw away our suffering. The gospel is better than that. The gift was offered because God threw our sin and our suffering and our separation onto his innocent son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And Jesus said, I will carry it for them. And here's how the prophet Isaiah paints the picture of this in the Old Testament. He's saying, surely, he's talking about Jesus. Come on, somebody. He says, surely, he, Jesus, he took up our pain, if you came in here with pain, and he bore our suffering so that we wouldn't have to. And yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted, but he, Jesus, was pierced for our transgressions, our violations. He, Jesus, was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace, you remember the punishment that we were supposed to It was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, and each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. Now that is a gift. We all messed up. We all broke God's rules. We all earned the penalty of suffering and separation forever and ever and ever. And then God took all of that and he poured it out on Jesus. And if you ever think of the cross, and if you ever read the cross, the words of Isaiah are going to frame that in a brand new way for you. When Jesus is on the cross, God is taking your sin and my sin, and he's pouring it out on Jesus. And now Jesus is carrying my sin willingly. And because he's carrying my sin, God pours my sentence on Jesus. And because Jesus is now carrying my sentence, God pours my suffering on Jesus. What I would have suffered in hell, Jesus experiences on the cross on my behalf, on your behalf. The separation that I was to experience for eternity, Jesus experiences and absorbs on the cross. Why have you forsaken me? As God literally turns his back on his own son for the first time in history, while Jesus is completely absorbing everything that we deserved. Which is, by the way, if you read that story, it will mean beautiful things to you when Jesus says, "Ah, it's finished. I did it. I absorbed it all." And then God says, and then he turns to us, the undeserving, sinful ones, and he starts to pour out Jesus' righteousness and his forgiveness and his life and his peace forever and ever and ever. But the free gift of God is eternal life in the person of Jesus Christ. And so now the question is, will you raise that same guilty hand you raised earlier proverbially to receive the gift? Because I don't have to tell you this. You know, there are only two ways to respond to a gift offered. You receive it or you reject it. Those are the only two options. You receive a gift or you reject a gift. You receive free forgiveness or you reject his free forgiveness. You receive eternal life or you reject eternal life. In other words, there are two options. You either say, I'm going to receive the gift of my sin forgiven, or I'm going to carry the sin myself. There's two options. You pay for it or Jesus pays for it. And make no mistake about it. Anything other than saying, "Jesus, I receive your gift," is an act of rejecting the gift. Like if you sit in here and you say, "I hear that," I'm going to need to pontificate, ponder, postpone, procrastinate. I'm gonna get back to you later, Lord. Just so you know, that is rejecting the gift. And if for some reason you should meet your creator between now and whenever you've pontificated enough, he will treat you as somebody who rejected the gift of Jesus and said, I'll take my chances. If I offered you a gift right now and you said to me, "I appreciate how much you spent on that, but I need to think about it," my feeling would be hurt. I don't have a lot of them. Because that would be an act of rejecting the gift. There are only two responses to that. And we as a church exist to show and share the love of Jesus that takes the place of sinners, to give them life. The reason we lose our minds over baptism is because each person getting baptized represents somebody who said, "I said yes to the gift." Each person up here is going to represent somebody who said, "My destiny has been changed forever." I have been transformed by the love of Jesus. I will never be the same again. And we will lose our minds, not because of the water, but because of Jesus and what he has done in each of those stories. They used to be stories of darkness, but Jesus has transformed them with his incredible light. And this morning, y'all, over the course of our services, we will baptize 45 people. At least. At least. Woo! Jesus is still in the business of offering gifts and transforming lives. The question is, how about you? If you've never said yes, this church exists for you. To do everything we can to convince you of the love of Jesus, to plead with you to receive the free gift of the life of Jesus. And I'm just saying, today is the day. What is today, the 28th of April? Can you think of a better day than today? I can't! Oh, we are pleading with you. Say yes to the gift of Jesus if you've never said yes to it. And please don't tell me that the reason you will postpone or defer the gift is because you are concerned about what the people around you might think. Those people cannot help you when you stand in the presence of the King of Heaven. I would not leave my eternity in the hands of the opinion of people who are not even dressed better than you. I wouldn't do it. Today is the day, and Jesus' gift is being offered to you, and we cannot plead with you enough. Say yes and receive and accept his incredible gift. I'm going to put a couple of statements up here on the screen. And if you can pray these statements, you will be saved by Jesus no matter how you walked into this room. Or no matter how long you've come to church thinking that church can somehow fix or change you, it cannot. No matter how much you know the Bible and believe that reading the Bible cannot. No matter how many times you've gotten baptized in the past thinking water can somehow change you, it cannot. There is only one who can, and his name is Jesus. And if you are willing to say this prayer in faith, I'm just warning you ahead of time. Woo! Your life forever transformed by the love and power of Jesus. And here's what it is. Jesus, I believe you are the only one who can forgive me of my sin. If you believe I can't do it, they can't do it. No one else can do it, but you can. If you believe that, and here's the second. Jesus, I receive your gift of full forgiveness. It's one thing to believe he can do it. It's another thing to then receive it. Jesus, I believe you purchased this gift for me. And Jesus, I now receive this gift and I unravel it by faith. If you can pray these two things, watch out. You are saved. And if your life for some reason physically should end tonight, you have the assurance you will be met by a God who welcomes you into eternity with him forever and ever and ever. So here's what I'm going to ask us to do. If you believe those two statements, and if you can pray those sincerely, I'm going to have us pray it out loud. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to ask you to pray this out loud because you believe this statement, which is why you're a follower of Jesus. And we're going to pray this together, particularly for the sake of those who might be praying it out loud for the very first time. And I'm pleading with you, mark this moment. It's as simple as receiving this gift. So why don't we pray these two statements together if you believe them sincerely? Jesus, I believe you are the only one who can forgive me of my sin. And Jesus, I receive your gift of full forgiveness. Every single voice, by the way, is going to heaven forever and ever and ever. Every single one of you who said that in faith, Jesus is your Savior, God is your dad, your eternal destiny has forever been changed. It's that simple. Amen. I'm like, yes, Lord. Woo! Some of y'all might have changed eternal addresses right now. Look at the person next to you and ask them, do I look different? Ask them, do I look different? Don't answer, just listen to the question. I want to talk to you. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you've said yes to the gift and you've never been baptized. What's the date today? The 28th of April? I can't think of a better day than today. If you've said yes to the gift of Jesus, Jesus commands you to be baptized. And what baptism is just getting up in front of people and saying, I want to declare that Jesus has changed my life forever. And Jesus says, I want you to go public and make that known. I stood for you, and now I'm calling you to stand for me and make the declaration. And today, a bunch of people are going to be making that declaration. And I'm saying, if you've never made that declaration, but you are a follower of Jesus Christ, even if you've been following Jesus for approximately 2 minutes, Jesus would say, get up here and get baptized and declare to everybody what I've done for you. And I'm saying some of you did not come here this morning preparing to be baptized. But heaven was preparing for you to be baptized. And so was Mission Point. We're ready for you. And if you sense the Spirit of God saying, now is time to obey the command of Jesus, to get in the water as a picture of my old life is gone, behold, I've been made new by Jesus. If you know today is your day, we're ready for you. And I'm telling you, some of you may be saying, I would, but I really want my Nana to see it. We have cameras everywhere. We are videoing this event, and you can send it to her. We have a professional photographer taking pictures, so you can share that with whoever you want to share that with. We have a change of clothes for you. We have toiletries, deodorant, praise the Lord. We have hair products for you. We have hair dryers for you. We have, again, clothes, towel, whatever you need. We physically have removed every obstacle to keep you from saying yes to being baptized today. So if you know it's your day, even when a video is happening in a little bit, I'm going to ask you to sneak out of this room and you can head to this front door here. It's going to be dark in here. You can just walk out and people will set you up to join those getting baptized on stage. You can feel free to go out the back if you would like or come down the stairs from the balcony, but would love for this to be the day of your baptism. I'm going to ask those who are getting baptized this service, and you know you already are, and you've planned on it, to come on up on stage. Come join me on stage. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, come on. Woo! Woo! I'm just telling you, is there enough room? I mean, I will stand over here. Yes, I'm going to get out of your way. I'll stand behind you. Man, heaven's getting a little more crowded, and we love it. Oh, yeah. Well, this group of, oh man, the courage again to stand up in front of all of you and say, I'm Team Jesus, and I want you all to know. It's a beautiful thing. And I know I'm not supposed to spend too much time saying this, but in your face, devil. But anyway, so while they're up there, We're going to be talking to them. And if you've been here for a while, you know that we'll typically ask three questions and have everyone answer them out loud. And we thought, there's so many of you, let's just do this together, right? So I'm going to ask you all three questions and would love for you to answer them out loud. And if somebody's not answering them out loud, just bump them. They may have forgotten, right? But I'm going to ask you to answer these questions out loud in the presence of God, in the presence of all of these people who love you and are cheering for you, right? And then we will get you baptized. So here are the questions. Question number one, do you believe that Jesus is the only one who can forgive you of your sins?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus has, in fact, forgiven you of all of your sins?
Absolutely. Woo.
Is it your desire to live the rest of your life for his honor?
Yes.
All right. All right. All right, you guys can step on. We're going to baptize you guys here in a few moments. I love it. I love it. All right, we're going to check out a video here of some of the stories as they head down. And again, if you need to be baptized, now is a moment for you to sneak out, make your way out there. But in the meantime, let's check out a few of these stories.
Today because I want to share my faith strong faith and belief in him to be able to show me how I should live my life and just to provide an example that I can use and go forward and build a stronger relationship with him. I hope that my life will be a light to be able to show others the love of God and just how much he loves other people. I want them to be able to see the impact that a relationship with Christ can have on your life and the change that it can bring about.
Thanks so much for tuning into today's message. We hope to see you next Sunday. We would love to personally invite you to one of our services at 9 and 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center in Warsaw Community High School at One Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe, review, and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.